Lord God, may you inspire us through your word that we might have a clearer and deeper understanding of who you are. Amen. Amen. Oh, these two readings, I love them. If you have a chance, go home and read them again. The version that Isaac read from was the NRSV. We have NIV Bibles here. There's just some subtle differences in translation, but go home and read them again. They are beautiful, powerful verses, and I could wax lyrical about loads and loads in them for ages, but I will not. You will be pleased to know. I will not. I have restricted myself. One of the challenges that I face every time I preach is working out which bits God is wanting to say to us today, us here in this place at this time. The Bible I keep talking about is living. There is always something to learn from it, right? There's always something new depending on how we come at it, what our life experience is, what's going on that week. There's something new to discover. So when we prepare, I say we, I can't answer for everyone else. When I prepare to preach, that is always the first question. God, what is it you want us to hear today? And looking at these readings, I couldn't help but notice that I think these readings are like the pinnacle of all that we have been learning over the past few Sundays. Everything from the few weeks ago when Mike was talking to us about being prepared, preparing for Jesus's coming, how we live in readiness for Jesus's return. And then last week, I was talking about how God inspires us to live that way, how the Holy Spirit then leads us into action to live differently for God in the here and now, whether that be through worship or through loving others. And today, Christ the King Sunday, we are reminded of what gives us confidence to live in that way. Because it's all very well, isn't it, talking about framing our lives around God and preparing for God's return by a deeper understanding and increasing our learning, opening ourselves up to God. And it's all very well talking about being inspired by God's Spirit and moving in us and moving us into action in the world. But if we don't actually have confidence in the God that we are drawing nearer to, or the God who is inspiring us, we can resist all of God's overtures. We can resist the Spirit moving in us, and we can resist Jesus' invitation to us. We need to have confidence in who Jesus is, and therefore why we choose to make room for God in our lives. So Christ the King Sunday gives us that opportunity because it enables us to take a step back and look at the grandeur of God and specifically the authority of Jesus. But Jesus the King? I talked about the problematic language of kingdom and kingship before. It has all sorts of human baggage. Humans behaving badly with the power and the authority that are given to them when they become royal or they are born royal. Human understanding and experience of kingship is historically one of dominance and power and possibly abuse of that power. It's actually one of the reasons that God said to the people of Israel in the time of Samuel the prophet, I'm not going to give you a king. Look at the kings around you. Look at what they do. I'm not going to give you one of those because the same will happen. They will abuse their power. They will take what is yours. They will make you their slaves. But the people at the time kept saying, no, we want a king. We want to be like all those other nations. We don't want to be different. We want a king. And so God relented. And God gave them what they wanted. But from the beginning, the king that God anointed was different. They were meant to be different. They were meant to be a shepherd. They were meant to be about protecting the people, not ruling over them. They were meant to be a guide for the people, not a boot to trample over them. The first king, Saul, That didn't fully work out in that way. But for David, his successor, David did become the archetypal king. He began to model this way of God wanting people to be kings. He understood this godly understanding about shepherding. But sadly, only up to a point. Even David, who was the model for all future kings for Israel, even David was human and failed, let the power he had and the success that he enjoyed go to his head, and he abused it in the most arrogant and tragic of ways. Even the best human king could not inhabit this godly understanding of kingship fully. But then the prophets kept speaking about the one that would come. One day there would be a king who would fully understand what God meant by kingship, who would inhabit, encompass, and fully embrace this understanding, who would rescue God's people, who would lead them to freedom, who would protect them, guide them, who would be the good shepherd, the godly king. He would be a descendant of David, but he would be the perfect king whose goodness would not fail. Now, we know this descendant of David, this perfect embodiment of kingly vision, to be Jesus. But what makes him able to be this perfect king is that he's not only fully human and understanding of all of our human frailties, but he is also God. God's very self. And that's why the writer of Colossians, the second reading that we had this morning, can wax lyrical about the authority of Jesus. They write, "The image of the invisible God." That's who Jesus is, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is the one in whom all things come together, the center of everything. The language of Colossians talks about this, about Jesus being the head from which everything else finds its place in life. It's hierarchical language of kingship. But that language and that kingship redeemed, made right and made good. Jesus is the one who can rule with all power and authority of a king without that power and authority going to his head. And we know this to be true because we've seen it in Jesus' actions. Think about that wonderful moment we hear about in John's Gospel, which mostly we only look at on Maundy Thursday, which is such a shame. But at the Last Supper, we hear Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. And immediately after that verse, Jesus got down from the table, wrapped a towel around his waist, and washed his disciples' feet. That is the ultimate humility with which to hold authority. This is the King who we call Christ and who we celebrate today. So not only can we celebrate and honour Jesus in this kingly, powerful and authoritative role, but it means that we can draw confidence from it. Because as the writer of Colossians says, may you be made strong. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from this glorious power. That is the prayer of the writer of Colossians. We no longer have to go through this world in our own strength anymore. This is the promise that we've received. This is the gift that we've received through Jesus' death and resurrection. The writer of Colossians puts it, we've been enabled to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. It's what I was talking about last week. We now have access to God. We've been reconciled through Jesus to God's grace and power and enabling spirit. But Colossians goes further. It's not just access and reconciliation. We've been transferred, transplanted, adopted into a new kingdom, a new way. The Holy Spirit is the proof of this translocation. God places God's own spirit within us to teach us and show us this new reality. We live in a different kingdom with a different king and a new reign. It means that, as the writer prays in Colossians, we can be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father. In reality, this means we are no longer at the mercy of the kingdom of darkness. Now, that looks like something different for each one of us, actually. There are some things in the world that we can all see as dark, and there are some things that each of us live in our own way. Whatever are the negative, the life-sucking, the de-spiriting events of the world around or within you, they no longer have the power to defeat us. Because of God's Spirit living in us, because of Jesus' power. And it's what the writer of Psalms, that Psalm 46 that we heard, this is what that writer is also expressing, this power of God. The writer of Psalms uses the imagery of natural disasters and battlefield metaphors, which most of us may not be able to easily connect with. We may never have experienced an earthquake or been in a war. But there are always things that can feel destructive and life-threatening to us. Perhaps our own battles with illness or with injustice, with prejudice, with other individuals, with work, home, or just general circumstances. These things can make our world tremble and quake. They can feel as if they can overwhelm us like a flood. But the psalmist reminds us that God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and let me show you what I can do. And I love that in this psalm, what God can do is not just change our perspective and help us to cope with it, not just bring us peace, but God fights our battle. This is an active God. This is a powerful God that will do battle for us. And God who will do battle with righteousness on God's side. Often when we try to fight our own battles, our own pain and our own hurts can cause us to act in all sorts of ways that perhaps aren't with the best judgment. But God can act with righteousness and good judgment. And God will act in that way. We may not like to think of God as judging in that way, but ask anyone who has been wronged in this world. And the hope that God will one day judge is actually quite a comfort. We are the people of a powerful and righteous God who can hold us in the battles of life and can fight for us. Our God has all the authority in heaven and earth. We know that again through Easter. Easter is our witness. God has triumphed over the powers of darkness. Jesus rose again. Our God is not far removed, passive, or powerless. Far from it. Our God is a roaring lion fighting our battles, as one of my favorite worship songs puts it. And it's how C.S. Lewis was inspired to portray God in the Narnia Chronicles, wasn't it? Aslan, the king of Narnia, he was no meek king, but a powerful and good king. That is the image of Jesus. So today, on this Christ the King Sunday, I pray that you too would have a renewed and expanded vision of Jesus as the godly King, powerful, authoritative, righteous, and good. And in his glory and humility, revealing to us the very nature of God. I pray that you would have a renewed and expanded vision of God who is for you, and longs for you to be inspired, and longs to equip you to live in this world as a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. So let's just end with that prayer that was prayed for the church in Colossae. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen.